Good morning, East Wind. How are we doing today? It's good to have you here. I want you to take a moment and please take the Connect Boards, sign in. While you're doing that, the youth are going to come up and get ready for a skit. But go ahead, take those Connect Boards located up the center aisle and take a chance to sign in and make sure you're here with us today. I need Dave Llewellyn and Julie Whitlock up here for me. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Llewellyn's back in the house. I'm telling you, when we were singing that song, "Thank You, Lord," I'm thinking about Dave. I don't know if you understood how serious Dave's surgery was that had him out for 6 weeks. If he would not have been successful, he would not have been able to continue. And God blessed us. Dave is back. He gets to be the husband and father and grandfather and worship minister without those limitations. It's good. It really is. We are thrilled. And I would be immense without saying thank you to Julie. For the last 6 weeks, she has led our worship service and done a great job for us. Is that a curtsy? For 36 years, I'm telling you, anything that I've ever needed in the ministry, I could just ask her, and she always steps up and does a wonderful job just like this. So thank you both very much. Appreciate them. It's on prayer. And we're calling it 30 Days of Listening Prayer, where we're asking you as the congregation to not just pray every day as you do, but to add to your prayer just as you'll ask God for guidance. And then you'll just listen for God's guidance, okay? That could come through a friend. That could come through a scripture. But just take a chance to listen. If you really feel like God's communicating you something to us, send that to us at listening@eastwind.org. We just want God's direction right now. So this whole month is about prayer. And each Sunday, I'm introducing a new way to pray or a new idea about prayer. Last Sunday, we gave you the little red dot. You put it on your phone to remind you, like those little red dots on the map at the mall that says you are here. And once you know where you are, then you know how to get to where you want to get to in the mall. Well, that little red dot on your phone, if you didn't get one, you pick one up at the Welcome Center, it means we're here right now as a church family, but we're asking God to lead us where he's going to lead us as part of our relocation. So do that. So today, what I want to introduce to you, we're starting something brand new called a prayer wall. Have you ever seen over in Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall? That's the big wall where the temple used to be, and now there's a mosque there, and Jewish people from all over the world come to that wall, and they wail because the temple's gone, but they also take notes, and they stuff the notes in the cracks of the wall, prayers about the temple, prayers for the future of that church, okay? And I thought, what a good idea. And so that's what we're going to do. Up here is a table, and there are little slips of paper on it. And just after church today, and then we're going to have it a part of the service next week, just write your prayer request on one of these and just insert it in the wall, okay? Just find a place where it'll stick and put it in. So we'll give you a time in the service next week, but after that, just come up, make a personal prayer request, put it in the wall, make a prayer about the church, whatever it is, put it in the wall. And then at the end of the 30 days, emphasis on prayer, on September 30th, we're going to have an 18-hour prayer vigil for 2018. 18 straight hours of prayer here in the garden room, and here people are going to come and they're going to yank these prayer requests out of the wall, pray and put them back, and next person will come. So if you put a prayer request up here, a host of people will be praying for it, okay? So make sure you're a part of that. Now, the prayer vigil sign-ups in the back, Randy Boswell will be at a table afterwards, so you can sign up for that. So make sure you're a part of that. All right, now, youth, have a special song called Oceans and Skit to go along with it. We're thrilled to have them doing that on Youth Sunday.
Wasn't it? Woo! Gave me chills. Good morning, fellow members. And if you're a guest, it's more than an honor to have you. My name is Carly, and I just wanted to say something real quick before Jeremy comes up here. Don't worry, I know your tummies are growling, but I'll be quick. Younger and older generations, it's time for us to come together and help each other. Instead of looking at our differences, let's see how we are alike. Let's lift each other up and grow deeper in our faith, grounding each other in Christ. Instead of keeping our faith to ourselves, we should love everyone and share with everyone the good news. We all need to step up and make an impact on everyone around us. To wrap up what I'm saying, instead of only hoping the world will change, we need to be the change. Please stand while we read God's word. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray our hearts will be open to Jeremy's sermon. I pray we won't just sit here and say, wow, that's great, but we'll put it into practice everywhere we go this week. Please change our hearts this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.
I believe that we could end our service today at that moment, and we would leave challenged and encouraged, right? Give it up one more time for our youth group. I wish that I could claim some sort of responsibility for that. I had nothing to do with it. That comes out of the hearts of our youth group wanting to serve, and out of an amazing youth ministry volunteer we have, Miss Patty Lovett, who took it upon herself to lead the youth group. That came out of just a desire from our youth ministry to share a little bit about what they learned this summer at their two different Christ in Youth conferences, where they learned about Peter and the challenge of stepping up in their faith. And well, I'll tell you one thing. We are, if we're being honest, facing a little bit of uncertainty right now as a church as we pursue relocation. But there's one thing that I am certain of, and that's that we can be confident in the future of our church based on our youth ministry. Would you agree? I love that verse that Carly read. I believe it's relevant for today, Youth Sunday. It's relevant for teenagers. I think there's a reason why we find it painted on so many youth ministry walls and why it's imprinted on the inside flaps of so many student Bibles. And I believe there's a reason why we read it at graduation Sundays and back to school events. And I believe there's a reason why it sits above my laptop in my office, taped on my office desk. I believe it's relevant to our young people today, but I fear that it's so relevant that we've almost made it the youth verse. That it's become this exclusive verse that maybe you send to your daughter, or you send to your grandchild, or you send to someone you know who is graduating, and we've made it exclusively for the young people. And while it is a great young people's verse, I fear that when we read, we say, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And we stop at that word young and we say, well, it won't apply to me anymore. But I strongly believe that the words that Paul writes to Timothy are relevant, not just to our young people, but to every believer. And to everyone in this room, I believe God's word has something to say for everyone. And when we take a step back and really look at what Paul was telling Timothy, it was not so much an affirmation or an encouragement in Timothy's youth, but rather a challenge for Timothy to overcome those feelings of not being good enough, of inadequacy. And last time I checked, those feelings of not feeling qualified are not exclusive to our young people. I think it's something we all have struggled with. Let me pray before we talk about that just a little bit more. Dear Lord, I ask that you use your word today to touch the hearts of Eastwind. Lord, encourage those who feel as if there's still a ways to go in their faith. Lord, allow those who struggle with these feelings of inadequacy to understand their identity found in you. God, I ask that you use your word today to show this congregation that we are called to bigger things. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I believe Timothy's call, the words that Paul writes Timothy here, I believe that his call is universal. Let me say that again. I believe Timothy's call is universal because it's something that we have all struggled with before. Think about it. Have you ever had a time where you feel like you're just not ready or you're just not good enough? An example that comes to mind was about 2 years ago, I believe, I came into the office here at Eastwind, I believe it was around June, and it was one of the first few weeks of my youth ministry internship. And what I was to do through this youth ministry internship is I was to come to the office and shadow under Stephen Cox, the current youth minister at the time. I was to observe from a distance, safely watch as he got ready for our summer programming and our summer curriculum. And it just so happened that on that day, it was going to be our Back to Youth Wednesday night service, kind of a kickoff for the summer. And well, I was just going to observe and see kind of what he did. I had no part in the lesson or in how the night would carry out, but I was excited to learn. And if you remember around this time, well, here's the thing, Stephen and Kim, his wife, were expecting. And it just so happened that around that time is when baby Hunter was to be due. Well, you see where this was going. I showed up to the office ready to learn and observe, and it just so happened that a few hours later, Stephen gets a call from Kim. And she thinks she's going into labor, so what was supposed to be a day for me to learn and to observe, I was handed the keys to the church, and I was wished good luck. And I remember that night questioning my calling, wondering if I was ready. And I think that's something Timothy could relate to. You see, Timothy was one of the proteges, if you would call it, if not an intern under the Apostle Paul. The big Apostle Paul that we know about, the spiritual leader. And here's what Timothy did. Timothy observed from a distance, safely, as he traveled with Paul through his missionary journeys. Well, it just so happened that Paul and Timothy arrive at the church of Ephesus, and they're shocked by what they see. What was supposed to be a routine checkup has now become a moment where they realize this church is filled with heresy and false teaching. And Paul has some business to take care of in Macedonia. So guess who gets left behind to take care of the church of Ephesus and to lead them back onto the right track? It was Timothy. So we get the book of 1 Timothy as a letter written to Timothy to encourage him in this time where he has been left in a congregation of members mostly older than he is, leading and speaking against what was probably some of the popular messages of the time. It was not an easy job. Yet Paul writes Timothy to encourage him and to convince him that his age was not a barrier to his ministry, but it was a blessing. It was not a barrier, it was a blessing. And here's why. Paul tells Timothy, your age is what they will look down on you for, but it's your opportunity to show them what God has done in your life. Use that contrast to show what God is capable of. I think of my own experience. I'm 22 years old, which puts me right in the middle of the millennial generation. Now, if you have not heard of the millennial generation, maybe you've been living under a rock. It's the label that the news likes to give those around my age. And, well, it's never really followed by any positive adjectives. We are the generation who spends too much time on our phones, who cares too much about our own selves, who likes to rent instead of own, who doesn't know the idea of commitment. Over and over and over, there are these accusations and generalizations made about those my age, and I'll be honest, it frustrates me sometimes. Because I think, well, if this is all that's being said about me, what will people think about me? How can I even have a chance? But then I think back on that experience of Timothy. These are not moments to keep me held back. Instead, they are moments to challenge me, to make me move forward, to prove those generalizations wrong. I think that's something we can all relate to. We all have a label. We all have a generalization that is made about us based on our experience, based on our upbringing, based on our position within society. It just so happened that Timothy's label was young. And those were the generalizations that were brought on to him. Let's read this verse one more time. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. Young just so happened to be Timothy's label. But here's the thing. This is why I don't believe that this verse is exclusive to the young. Replace that word young with your label, with what you struggle with what causes you to feel inadequate or unqualified. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are a new Christian. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are a single mother. Don't let anyone look down on you because you came from a broken home. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are an introvert. There are these labels that we're given that we feel hold us back, but what Paul tells Timothy is this label does not define you. Instead, it should encourage you. Yet here's what's interesting about what Paul tells Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but he's not exactly preaching that to the congregation. He is telling Timothy they will look down on you because you are young, and they have every right to. Because here's the thing about those labels we're given and the generalizations that come with them. Sometimes they're true. That's why it becomes a generalization. I wish I could be the different millennial, but I'll be honest, there's been times when I've gone to a concert and I've paid good money just to post a picture and say that I was there. That lines up very well with the criticism of my generation. We're more concerned with what people will think about what we have done, and we don't know how to live in the moment, right? Here's the thing about generalizations, they have the tendency to be true. But don't let that discourage you. It helps you. It helps you make that change. This is one thing that Paul tells Timothy. He says, be mindful of your shortcomings. Because those generalizations that are given to you based on your label, on your situation, they are things that you usually might struggle with. Look at what Paul tells Timothy to be mindful of speech and life and love and faith. Those are things that young people usually deal with. This is a guideline. These are things to look out for. There's this picture right here of our girls' small group room. We meet every Wednesday night. We split into groups after our large group lesson, and we discuss a little bit about what we learned. And this is the back of their door, and on it you just see this little bag right here, and you might not know what it's for. Well, it's for their cell phones. Because they are mindful of their shortcomings. They understand, right? There is always that temptation to be on your phone, but there is this understanding between each and every one of those students that when they come in, how about we just put our phones away? That way, the temptation won't even be there. And I think that's along the same lines of what Paul tells Timothy. Be mindful of your shortcomings. Look out for them. You are aware of them, so don't even give them the chance to come to fruition. Be vigilant. So don't use those generalizations as means to be offended or to be hurt. Use them as an encouragement and as a reminder to be mindful of the things you might struggle with. And for Timothy, that was his youth. That was his youth. So Paul has a way of just honing in on it. It might upset him, but it also is a convicting moment for him. I think of another one of Paul's proteges. His name was Titus. And in the letter to Titus, we read another piece of encouragement from Paul, which I believe is so relevant. It says, "In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. And your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Those labels, those shortcomings, don't use them as means to be offended. Use them as guidelines, and don't give anyone the chance to look down on you because of them. Now, Paul gives Timothy all this great advice, but it's not going to happen overnight. There is this language within the book of 1 Timothy where there is this understanding that there needs to be an effort. There needs to be an effort. Timothy needs to know people are looking down on him, so what is he going to do next? In our youth group, we have a theme each semester. And for us, our theme this semester was Write Your Story. And we gave all of our students a sticker above. For me, it's on my Bible. And what it was is just a reminder to write your story, to be mindful of your shortcomings, to be intentional with what you do, because every action that you make in your life and in your schools and in all your circles of influence will tell a story as to what God is doing in your life and to what God has already done in your life. And we tell them, write your story. We tell them, be intentional with your actions. And that's the point that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy here. He's saying, people have every right to look down on you. You're young, but here's the thing, prove them wrong, and the way you prove them wrong is you are intentional with what you do. Let's read 1 Timothy 4:13. Here's some action steps that Paul gives Timothy. It says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Devote yourself. That Greek word for devote, proseho, it means pay attention to. You need to be intentional with the actions that need to take place to show others what God has done. If Timothy were to continue living as he had, then who knows if the opinion over him would have changed. But Paul gives Timothy these action steps that he must follow because as he follows them, he is intentional. He knows that each of these things that Paul tells him to do will show the congregation in Ephesus that he means business and that he's someone worth looking up to. I have to ask you, are you living intentionally? When you struggle with those feelings of inadequacy, when you encounter those feelings of not being good enough or of not being ready, especially when it comes to the bigger picture of stepping up as a believer, are you being intentional with your actions? Or are you continuing on like you already have? There needs to be action steps. There needs to be intentional commitment to overcoming the label that you've been given. And that's exactly what Timothy does. He is intentional. He devotes himself. He pays attention to. He rids himself of the distractions, and he pays attention. He reads Scripture. He preaches, and he teaches. And those are the steps that he requires to move forward. Well, Paul was not just encouraging Timothy to take those steps so that he can be a good person. Instead, Paul knew that all eyes would be on Timothy. He knew that people were already looking down on him. And people would be watching him to fall and to mess up. That way, when it happened, they would say, "See, I told you so." He knew that all eyes would be on him. So he says, "You know what? They're already watching you. Use that example for good. use that attention for good. And I challenge you as well, be aware of your influence. Be aware of your influence. There was a moment this summer at our CIY conference with our high school students where we sat on the first or second night, I believe, in our small group time where we were to discuss things that stood out to us or things that we might have learned. And I was a bit frustrated because it felt like we weren't making any progress throughout the week. There wasn't enough traction yet, and we weren't sharing the way that I wanted us to share. And one of the reasons why is our youth group has this tendency where we love to joke. We love to have fun. And we love to be sarcastic. We really do. And there was just this moment where I had this realization, well, we can't get anywhere if we don't take it seriously. We're just being sarcastic. No one's going to take that seriously. And I was frustrated, and I thought to myself, well, why is this the way it's going? And then I thought back to the way that I treat my own friends and the way that I communicate with my friends and the way that I communicate with Garrett, who's one of my youth ministry volunteers. And our language is soaked in that sarcasm. And I'm saying, how can I expect them to change? This is who they learned it from. I need to be aware of my influence. That's the same thing I challenge you to do as well. Well, here's some good that came out of it. They chose to be intentional instead. I just want to show you something that I think is really cool. This is our group message on Instagram between a lot of our CIY students. And this is where a lot of our students who went on that trip keep in touch. And, well, there's something intentional about the way in which they communicate on it. And I don't know how it started, but I like it. Every once in a while, someone will just send one of these hearts. If you don't know how to use Instagram group message, well, there's an option to send a heart. And somebody sends this heart, and then what will soon happen is just about everyone else in that group will respond. I don't know where it started. But I like that it started. I don't really understand why we do it, but I like that we do it. It just lets people know that we're thinking about them, that we're there for them. It's intentional. And that's the exact kind of thing I want you to think about, right? We replaced something that was negative. We sat down with our youth group, and we all promised each other for that through this week. We will not speak in sarcasm. And it got to the point where people would call each other out on it and not calling me out on it too. But it was intentional. And we replaced it with something better. And now, when we see this, think about that, what example that is setting for our younger students. We should be aware of our influence. You'd be surprised at some of the things we have to get on to our students about. Some of their struggles, and some of the things that we sit down with them, and we wonder, well, where did they learn this? And guess where they learned it from? Their parents, their coaches, at home, their older siblings. I think we forget how many eyes are on each of us. It's easy to get wrapped up in this idea that we're living our own life, but we forget, each and every one of us in this room, there are eyes set on all of us, and they're watching us. And granted, they may be watching us to see us fall, but let's use that influence for good. Timothy had all eyes on him. They wanted him to fail. They wanted him to fall. They were looking down on him. But he used that reality that he was faced with for good. Because as he devoted himself to Scripture, to the public preaching and teaching of God's word, that influence, it filtered throughout the church of Ephesus. Ask yourself, who watches me? Who looks up to me? And I think that if we were to step back and really ask ourselves that, we would be surprised at what we'd come to find. There are things that we struggle with. There are labels that have been put on us that make us feel like we are not ready or qualified to be a follower of Christ. But I say you have already started. You know what? You have already started. You have taken that step. You are here at church. That is intentional. And because you're here, you have an influence. And you have the responsibility of being aware of that example that you are placing to each and every one of, if not these students here, but everyone you come in contact with. I want to show you one more picture. There's really not a reason for me to show you this. I just think it's a wonderful picture. This is our progressive dinner from last November. This is a good bulk of a lot of our students here at Eastwind. It's a great picture, but look at every single face. Each and every one of those students is placing an example in their schools. Each and every one of these students has an influence already. And what they will carry into their schools, and what they will carry into their homes, and what they will carry out into the world is primarily coming from those that they look up to. And church is one of those areas where there are people looking to you. Be aware of that influence and use it for good. Don't be discouraged by the things you feel hold you back. Be encouraged by the fact that they are opportunities for God to show his work in you. They are opportunities for God to make a difference in your life. They are not death sentences. Right? When people talk bad about my generation, that is not saying that I cannot do good because of it. They are realities that we are then challenged to overcome. That we are challenged to overcome. As Paul wrote to Timothy, I can just imagine the passion he felt to get this message across to Timothy. Timothy, who faced a congregation that likely was not a fan of him, that did not respect him, yet Paul did not give up. He did not list practical steps on, well, here's how you might want to talk to somebody to get them to respect you. Instead, he urged Timothy to take hold of the responsibility set before him and to overcome that label and to use it for God's glory. And that's my challenge to each and every one of you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the fact that you have given us a platform, for the reality that there are others who look up to us. While that may be intimidating to many of us, while we may feel we are inadequate to lead others to Christ, while we may feel unqualified to be an ambassador of your love, Lord, you've still given us a platform and you've given us influence, and I pray that you encourage each and every one of us to use that for your glory, to be aware of what needs to be done and to do it. It's in your name I pray. Amen. When Paul wrote to Timothy, yes, he was encouraging Timothy in his young age. But that does not mean that this truth is only relevant to those in their young age. I believe, and I strongly believe, that the same wisdom is true for us, regardless of our years. We all struggle with this feeling of not feeling ready, of not feeling adequate, of not being the right person. But here's the good news. Those labels that you feel hold you back have been replaced by the identity you've been given in Christ. We talked about the importance of action steps, and there's some big action steps that take place to receive that identity, to be uplifted in that truth. That is to choose and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to surround yourself with those influences and those examples of good. So if you feel as if today is the day you'd like to make that decision, whether it's to follow Jesus for the first time or to join us here at Eastwind in our church family, then I invite you to come and speak to us in the garden room. It's to my left. If not, just focus on that influence you have, on that challenge that Paul has set forth for you. Don't be held back by your limitations. Instead, be encouraged and motivated through them. Think of that as we stand and as we sing.